Good morning. So I was getting ready for this lesson, and it just didn't feel right to do the lesson I was going to do. I kept, as I was preparing, finding myself saying things about it that I wish that I already had said and that you already knew. So rather than do the lesson that I was going to do, I'm going to do the lesson that I am going to do. And then the lesson that I was going to do, I will do next time. So you didn't need to hear any of that. I could have just done the lesson I was going to do, and everything would have been fine. But what we're going to spend the next however many months it takes me with how often I preach to get through it, we're going to do the fruit of the Spirit. And we're going to talk about the fruit of the Spirit, the first of which is love. 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 You'll learn it. Next time when we do love, and then when I ask, you'll say, it's love. I totally knew that, rather than not knowing it like you did just now. So the first one is love. So I was going to preach about love this morning, but there are so many things that I need you to already know about the fruit of the Spirit in general. It's important that we talk about those. So that's what we're going to do. And we're going to start by reading Galatians chapter 5, and we're going to start in verse 16. I'll just read it up. But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the desires of the flesh are against the Spirit, and the desires of the Spirit are against the flesh. For these are opposed to each other to keep you from doing the things you want to do. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are evident. Sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, fits of anger, rivalries, dissensions, divisions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and things like these. I warn you, as I warned you before, that those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. And those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live by the Spirit, let us also keep in step with the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking one another, envying one another. Today's lesson is going to be brief, because there are only three things that I want you to remember, three items that I want you to remember over the course of the next couple months. But I need you to remember them so that I don't have to keep referring back to them in other lessons. I just need you to learn these, know these, and then as I'm talking, say, yes, I get that in reference to the way that Nathaniel has asked me to remember these three things. So this is a brief lesson, and before you get the idea that these are all going to be brief lessons, this is going to be the only brief lesson. The rest of them, particularly next time, are going to be long. And so if you want to not hear long lessons, just figure out every other week for the rest of the summer and then go somewhere else. Not really. Don't go somewhere else. Just come prepared to hear like a solid like 40-minute-er. So here are the three things I want you to remember as we're talking about love, joy, peace, patience, etc., etc. One, your fruit is a reflection of your roots. So what are you rooted in? Because what we're talking about here is not a list of things that you need to work on at all. Galatians 5 could be a legalist's dream come true, because here are a list of checkboxes of things that I need to not do, and here are a list of checkboxes shorter than the original list, just 9 things that I need to do. And I can wake up every morning and say, okay, I was not envious. I didn't get drunk. There were no orgies in my life today. And, oh, I was kind and I was patient and I was good. That's not how this works. The fruit that you are bearing is a reflection of who you are and what you are rooted in. So are you rooted in the flesh? Are you involved in all of these many things? Stuff like that. Because if that's what you're rooted in, then you're rooted in the flesh. And these are not necessarily just things for you to not do, but they are evidence of where your heart and where your mind is. This is basically, mostly, don't overthink it, mostly a pretty accurate depiction and description of my teens and 20s. Like, those were the things that I was thinking about and I wanted to be about. I was jealous and I was angry and I was divisive and I was envious of other people that had more than me. And my entire life was basically idolatry about myself. And all of those things were evidence that in my teens and 20s, my roots were not in the spirit, my roots were in the flesh. And it wasn't because I had to think about how I wanted to do these things and think about how I didn't want to do the fruits of the Spirit. It was just, these were a natural outpouring of where my heart and my mind was. Because I was about the things of the flesh. I wasn't actively thinking, what are a list of sins I can do and what are a list of good things that I can just not do. It was just naturally the way that I lived. Conversely, I'll get to that in a second. Galatians 5:17. The desires of the flesh are against the Spirit, and the desires of the Spirit are against the flesh, for these are opposed to each other to keep you from doing the things that you want to do. So when you are rooted in the flesh, you're opposed to the things of the Spirit. You are at enmity with the things of the Spirit. And what does that sound a lot like to you? Or what is it about to sound a lot like to you when I show you what it sounds a lot like? It sounds a lot like, to me, Romans 7. That there's a war going on, which is, again, a very accurate description of my 20s. So I find it to be a law that when I want to do right, evil lies close at hand. For I delight in the law of God in my inner being, but I see in my members another law waging war against the law of my mind and making me captive to the law of sin that dwells in my members. That's my 20s. That was my 20s to a T. Me, intellectually and in my heart, really wanting to do what was right and wanting to follow God and wanting to be like Jesus. But then in actuality and in practice, my members were winning out on a daily basis. And the war that was happening between the Spirit and the Spirit was losing regularly because that wasn't where I genuinely actually wanted to find my root. So what happens if you're rooted in the Spirit? Then you find that there is within you an outpouring of love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and goodness and faithfulness and gentleness and self-control. These are the natural fruits of roots that are in the Spirit. Again, please don't, as we're going through this, think, okay, Nathaniel's talking about love this week, or goodness this week, or faithfulness this week, so I'm going to really focus on loving and being good and being faithful. No, these are characteristics that are evidence that your heart is where it needs to be. So what we're going to be talking about is not ways that you can be more loving, ways that you can be more kind, or ways that you can be more faithful. It's going to be how to be more rooted in the Spirit so that love and joy and peace and faithfulness and kindness and patience and goodness and self-control and gentleness are being expressed in your life as a natural result of that. Because what's scary about this is that that's the truth. It's the truth that this is what happens when you're rooted in the Spirit, so that if these things are not evident in my life right now, it's not because I haven't worked hard enough. It's because my roots aren't in the Spirit. And that's hard to hear for me. And it's frustrating as an American because I am told constantly that I can pick myself up by my bootstraps, and if I work hard enough and if I just get down to it and I show some real good American work ethic, that I can do anything, I can be anything that I want to be. And God says no. God says, you root yourself in me, and what you want to be will be a natural outpouring of that without you working at it at all. Amen. Because, oh, I love this sermon. I can't wait to do it. Your fruit is for God's glory and not yours.
There you go.
those things are not so that you look better with your friends and you have better relationships with your friends and you are the person that all your friends want to be like. They are so that God is the person that all your friends want to be like, so that you reflect Him better. And your fruit is for God's glory, because bearing fruit demands humility. Galatians 5:24 says, "And those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires." The things that you want to do, that your members want to do in the flesh, if we're going to be in Christ Jesus, we have to murder that. I have to murder those desires, put them on the cross with Jesus, and humble myself so that I can reflect Him more accurately in my life. And then look at Galatians 5:26. After you are starting to see all of these fruits, these nine fruits bearing in your life, let us not become conceited. Let us not look at the fruit and say, "Wow, I am actually..." I don't know if you guys saw that, but I treated that person super gently. I'm so gentle. And then Terry's like, "Nathaniel is really gentle. Why can't I be more gentle?" Well, because I'm not being conceited in my gentleness, then Terry doesn't envy my gentleness, because we are all striving to be more like Christ, and the outflowing of us all striving to be more like Christ is that we are all more gentle. Not because I'm so good at being gentle or I'm so good at being loving, but because God is so good at being gentle and God is so good at being loving, and I am reflecting God, and God gets the glory for that. Plus, I mean, when we get right down to it, God created you for His glory and not for yours. Isaiah 43 could not be more clear. "Fear not, for I have redeemed you." That's God redeeming you. "I have called you by name. You are mine. Fear not, for I am with you. I will bring your offspring from the east, and from the west I will gather you. I will say to the north, 'Give up,' and to the south, 'Do not withhold.' Bring my sons from afar, my daughters from the end of the earth. Everyone who is called by my name, who I created for my glory, whom I formed and made." God created you for His glory, not for your own glory. And then, just in case you're like, "Well, but I do some pretty good stuff," even the good stuff that you do is God's. You are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. It wasn't even your idea. The good works that you do are God's idea. And if we are doing those good works outside of Christ, then Isaiah also tells us that those are filthy rags. All of the best that you can do outside of Jesus is filthy rags. But in Jesus, it finds its context and it finds its purpose, which is that God is glorified. And then, lastly, just to eliminate any possibility that we are taking anything from this on ourselves, we are bearing fruit by God's power and not by our power at all. Romans 7, going back a little before what we talked about earlier, "For I know that nothing good dwells in me, that is, in my flesh, for I have the desire to do what is right, but not the ability to carry it out. For I do not do the good that I want, but the evil I do not want is what I keep on doing." That's my life. And that's your life. I have been told on many occasions, Paul cannot be talking about himself here because a real Christian doesn't look like that. And I think that that's baloney. I think a real Christian looks exactly like that. And when a real Christian looks like that, that then forces the real Christian to put all of their hope and all of their strength and all of their desire in God only, and not in what they are doing themselves. Everything that I am is because of God and not because of me. If it was because of me, I have showed time and time again that I will fail and I will break and I will ruin. But if I do it through God, it will succeed. "For by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not your own doing. It is the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast." What you are rooted in produces fruit as a result of God, not because of us. In fact, it produces fruit as a result of God in spite of us, in most cases. Look at the very end of Galatians 5 here. If we live by the Spirit, let us also keep in step with the Spirit. Some translations say, if we live by the Spirit, let us also be led by the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking one another, envying one another. If I decide that I want to be rooted in the Spirit, if I want my roots to be just wrapped around what God wants me to be rooted in, then I need to be humble enough to allow myself to be led by the Spirit, because where the Spirit leads is into love and joy and peace and patience, etc. Where the flesh leads is all of those other things. Now, it would be so much easier and so much more simple a message if for the rest of the 9 remaining lessons we were just able to say, okay, how to love better? 1, 2, 3. How to be more kind? 1, 2, 3. How to be more patient? 1, 2, 3. But that is not what the fruit of the Spirit is about. The fruit of the Spirit does not say work on these things and stop working on these things, these other things. It says, this is who you are, right? You're these things, right? Because if you are really living in the Spirit, this is what it should look like. Which is tough. It's a much more complex series of lessons for me to present, but I think it's going to be better for us in the long run because it doesn't oversimplify the truth of Galatians, and it doesn't oversimplify our life in Christ, which is not just a list of do's and don'ts and a list of ways to be and ways not to be. It is so much more rich and complex and allows us so much more freedom in Christ to rely on who God is and allow God to be who He is in our lives than relying on ourselves to hit a checklist of things and do it well. The fruit of the Spirit is incredibly overwhelming if I am responsible for producing it on my own. Thank God I'm not. So 3 items to remember. Every sermon, I'm going to refer back to these, and I need you to not look at me quizzically when I do. Your fruit is a reflection of your roots. Your fruit is for God's glory, not yours. And we bear fruit by God's power, not ours. All of those things, hopefully, I have shown to be biblically true, because they are. And that's it. That's the whole lesson. So, next time, we're going to talk about love. See, I found strawberries in a heart-shaped bowl. Fruit of the Spirit. Love. That's going to just keep continuing on. I'm going to find thematic fruit for every single fruit of the Spirit. I love it. I love strawberries. Let's pray. Our Father in Heaven, thank You so much for being our God, for considering who we are and then not holding that against us. Thank You for loving us in spite of our sin. Thank You for being merciful to us in spite of our rebellion. And thank You for showing us grace in spite of our rejection of it on a regular basis. God, help us to see in the fruits of the Spirit characteristics that we desire so deeply in our lives that we are willing to uproot ourselves from the flesh, Father, to crucify the desires that we have and to replace those desires with what You want. And help us to repot ourselves, Father, in the Spirit exclusively. Help the war that is happening in our members to find victory in the Spirit. Help us to wake up every morning with the determination that we are going to crucify the flesh for that day and that we are going to live and be led by Your Holy Spirit. God, as we enter into this series, help us to search Your Scriptures to find out how we can best be rooted in You. Help us to not shy away from the challenging truths that we find in Your New Testament. And Father, help us to, at the end of this, be able to look at our lives and say with no pride, but with complete humility, that we are yours and that we are a reflection of you. God, help us to help each other to get there without any envy and without any conceit, and help us to empty ourselves, Father, as always, of us and refill ourselves up with you. We love you so much. Help us to be committed to your word and committed to your son. And it is in his name that we pray. Amen. Now we're going to stand up. Sorry. I always say that. Years and years being ground into my brain. Stand up. We're going to stay seated, but we're going to sing Light the Fire.